Here's the 0-1. And a drive to left center field, hit deep to the track, to the wall, and clear the deck. Cannonball coming. Key Brian Hayes, his second home run of the season. Pirates are on the board. It's 3-1.
It took me 3 hours to find a Key Brian Hayes home run highlight. That's not fair. Key Brian Hayes changes scenery. He'll probably do that guy some good. He gets shipped out to division rival Cincinnati. And in return, the Buccos get Sammy Stafura, a high A shortstop, and the ninth-rated Reds prospect. They also got left-handed pitcher Tyler Rogers, who is a good reliever. He's owed $12 million. But they're going to maybe flip him today or not, and he'll just replace potentially one of the relievers they trade today, or he'll replace the reliever they traded yesterday. I'm just shocked they got anything for Key Brian Hayes. Why mince words? I know he is an elite defender. I see it all the time in the For You tab on Twitter.com, defensive runs saved leaders in Major League Baseball. He's atop the list. Among third basemen, he laps the field. He is by far the best defensive third baseman in the league, has been for some time, and arguably the best defender in the game. There is value to that. He is also the second worst hitter in Major League Baseball among all qualified hitters in OPS. The guy plays a power position and has as little power as any regular playing in Major League Baseball. The Buccos should have moved him. And while the return may seem underwhelming, I ask, what did you expect? The Reds know this guy can't hit, and they know that they're going to have to pay him for the next 5 years. It's not a lot of money, but relative to what the Pirates spend, it's a decent chunk. Relative to what the Reds spend, it's a decent chunk. But while the return wasn't a guy who's close to playing Major League Baseball and helping this offense, I had said for the last couple of weeks, if you could just simply find a way to get Key Brian Hayes off this roster to open up a spot to get a good hitter in, I'm all for it. I'll actually say Cherington did a decent job with this. A top 10 prospect in the Red system for a guy who can't hit? Okay. You did well here, Ben Cherington. And I don't like to throw compliments to that guy.
Yeah, I agree. I will give him credit. And to me, this makes sense for the Reds because the Reds have hitters. They have a few hitters. I mean, Friedel, obviously, De La Cruz, and Gavin Lux, who they got in the offseason. They have guys that can protect a guy like Key Brian Hayes that is an elite defensive third baseman. So to me, that makes sense. But they also, the reason why I think that this was a good trade, even if you didn't get the return that you wanted, is you're getting the money off the book. So time will tell if they use that money in the right way, right? Like, that's what the point was to get the money off the books, to use that money for somebody that can actually hit.
That's the rub, right?
That's the rub there. So we see that the money's freed up. It's like, okay, well, where's that going now? Now you have to execute on the other side of it. So I think it was a great trade to get the money off the books. I think it was a good trade, obviously, for the Reds. Now you just got to use the money. See what they do.
That is the fly in the ointment here. On the surface, you get, for you, a bad contract off the books, a terrible hitter off the books, and a guy who reportedly didn't want to be here, out of town. But it's a salary dump unless you use the money to make next year's team better.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are Pirates fans out there that don't believe the money will get rolled into next year's payroll, I don't blame you for that.
Nope.
So I'm not going to give this organization benefit of the doubt. I do think the quote-unquote plan is to spin that forward and to utilize it to make next year's team better. But until they do it, I can't give them credit for something that hasn't happened yet.
Right.
I just can't. Now, as for Key Brian Hayes not wanting to be here, for Key Brian Hayes' dad not wanting him to be here, look, you have to take some personal responsibility. Maybe the Pirates didn't do right by Hayes with the back thing. Maybe you can blame them for not developing him as a hitter. I think you need to take some personal responsibility and understand that you haven't become what everyone thought you could be from a hitting standpoint. We always said, if he could be an average hitter, that's a great Major League Baseball player. He is so far below average That's why he got moved. But lest we forget, he had one good month in the COVID-shortened season. He got called up midway through the year. One good month. And they gave him $70 million. You can't be that mad at the Pirates. And I know that the deal didn't work out. I'm never going to blame them when they take a risk on a guy.
Yep.
When they paid Brian Reynolds, it made all the sense in the world, and he is stunk this year. Doesn't mean they shouldn't have done it. When they paid Mitch Keller, that was the right thing to do. If the guy burst into flames on the field and could never throw a strike again, it was still worth doing. I think it was worth paying Key Brian Hayes, because if he blossomed into the guy we had all hoped, then $70 million and $8.75 million a year would have been a bargain, a steal. So I don't blame them for doing it. I also don't blame them for trading him. What do you think? 412-928-9370. Texter writes in, MLB has him rated 15th, just saying. I think they're talking about Stafora, the shortstop that comes from the Reds organization. Is 9th the Pirates spin? Let's get something straight here. We ain't spinning jack crap for the Pirates over here.
No.
It depends on where you look. I saw MLB Pipeline had him as the 9th rated prospect.
Okay, top 15.
Whatever.
Right.
You wound up getting...
It's not like the 80th.
Right.
Like, what are we talking about here?
And meanwhile, you trade Caleb Ferguson, you get the 13th best prospect in the Seattle Mariners system. I don't know what people expected as a return for Key Brian Hayes. I thought if they moved him, it would look like this. The Pirates trade Key Brian Hayes to Team X. The Pirates get a player to be named later. That's what I thought it would look like.
Or I thought that he would be attached to like a Bednar or Mitch Keller.
I thought that could be the case too, right. Yeah.
Be a package like type deal. That's how I thought he was going to get traded. I didn't think he was going to get traded like just one, just by himself.
Uh-uh.
I thought he was going to be attached to something like, here, all right, we'll sweeten the package. Here's Key Brian Hayes.
Because we all understand the value of a great defensive player, and he is that. But you do have to let him hit four times a game. And I just didn't know if anybody was going to take that on if you didn't attach something or if you had to give up anything in return.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if Rodgers gets flipped today at the deadline or if he's a stopgap guy for the Buccos this season if they move off of Bednar or Santana. But your thoughts on the deal, 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. I'm getting emotional. I can't believe they traded this cornerstone piece of the franchise. Do you think he and his dad have a reason to gripe? A reason to have been dissatisfied here?
I think that it may be deeper than what we think because of the whole hitting coach, I think, situation.
Yes.
That was probably a reason. That probably his hitting coach, trainer, whatever you want to call him, helping him for so many years and the Pirates, I guess, not allowing or him being around, something like that.
Yeah, they had that Nunnally guy.
Right.
Who was working with him, and then he actually hit the ball for a little while there.
Right. I think that may have a little bit to do with it. I don't think it's like him being a Pittsburgh Pirate. I think it's more of a situation like that. Maybe the rehab of his back didn't go the way that he planned.
I can see that being a reason to gripe.
Throughout the last couple of years, maybe being forced into the lineup whenever he wasn't healthy, things of that nature. I think that might be a reason to gripe, but I don't think it was like because he was, you know, hearing from people like us. I don't think it was because he was a Pittsburgh Pirate and couldn't hit. I think it was more of like it was deeper than that.
The back thing could be a big reason why if they feel like the Pirates didn't handle that situation appropriately, and then you're searching for outside help and. He has actually stayed healthy this year,
yep.
Which is good to see. I don't dislike Key Brian Hayes. No. I got nothing bad to say about the dude, but I do think the body language was lacking at times this year and last year. And I think last year you can attribute that to some of the back issues. It's hard to discern whether or not he was in discomfort or just not comfortable in his own skin playing for the Pirates. But when you get paid $70 million guaranteed, you can't be that mad. If he had played out his career the way that so many other Pirates have played out their careers here, I mean, he would be in arbitration. He'd be getting paid that way, but they didn't need to pay him when they paid him.
That's why I don't think it was, everything else. I think that it was kind of maybe deeper than
yeah
what probably people think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, whenever you're getting paid $70 million, like you said, it's like, what are you mad about? What is there to be mad about?
My back hurts. Okay, well, so what? So does mine. I don't have $70 million.
So maybe like the rehab process, things of that nature, I think that they probably were upset.
Yeah. I could see that being a big sticking point anywhere.
Yeah.
And you would know this way better than me. Like, if you don't feel like an organization's doing everything in their power to get you right, I would imagine there are things that, I would imagine there aren't many things that are more frustrating.
Or to try to get you right too fast and try to push you back too fast whenever you know that you're not ready to try to get you out there, to try to, you know, make good use of the $70 million. It's like, you got to be out there. We got to get you back on the field. You're like, well, I'm not ready. Well, we got to get you in the lineup. And then it's like, okay. Then he goes out there and he looks like he does.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. I think that probably made him
trying to serve the team, put the needs of the team ahead of your own personal health.
Mm-hmm.
Harry was underwhelmed with the return in the Key Brian Hayes deal. Were you? 412-928-9370. What bummed you out about the return, Harry?
Like you guys just talked about, like, I wanted him to be paired maybe in another deal to get somebody better back, like with a pitcher. And I'm also focused on who they got. Like, they traded away a left-handed reliever in Caleb Ferguson to get Taylor Rogers, who's fine, but it's like, it feels like everything's still, like, pitcher-focused here from a major league perspective.
I think it was, in the case of the Hayes deal, get the best possible return you could, regardless of your needs for 2026.
Well, then I
think it's just moving him out of the way to open up your third base job.
Yeah.
Now, if they do trade Bednar, if they do trade Keller, and we're looking at high A shortstops, we're going to eviscerate them mm-hmm. for the next 2 days.
Well, what I was thinking about, too, like as I talked myself through it, was maybe Taylor Rogers is your kind of temporary, not as good as David Bednar piece for when you do trade David Bednar, you still have a back end of the bullpen, so it could create the win-win in that sense.
Yeah, if Rogers pitches well and they sign him to a cheap contract next year, that look good. If they flip him, that look good. I'm not worried about them being able to cobble together a bullpen, but as long as Hayes was going to be getting paid upwards of $9 million on this roster, he was going to play. They're not going to pay a guy that much money relative to their payroll and not put that guy out there every day. This unclogs a position for them, and I have looked at the potential third baseman that could be on the open market this offseason. There's guys that are going to make a lot of money, and then there's bad players. I'm here to tell you, whatever they do, the guy they bring in, so long as Triolo's not that dude, he's going to hit better than Key Brian Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not a guess, that's a fact. Of all the available free agent third baseman, you could scrape the bottom of the barrel in that group, and that guy's going to hit better than Key Brian Hayes. And that's the issue with this club. They need to hit. And an average hitter would be a significant upgrade for them in the middle of this offense. Now, we're not going to give them credit for what they haven't done. We've already said that. But I think that's the plan. So we're okay with the return. I'm going to be rooting for Key Brian Hayes. I think he's a nice man. Are the Reds going to fix him? I think that's an interesting conversation, which we'll get to coming up next at 412-928-9370. You can call in and comment just your broad thoughts on the trade. Could the Pirates trade Bednar today? Santana? Are they going to move off of Mitch Keller? We'll get into all that in hour number one. But
who's on the move? Another major league trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
Oh, how about that? I hope we play that a lot today. I hope we're playing that all show long. Bostic's going to be with us from 7 o'clock until 10, but should the Pirates make another trade, then we will obviously break into our coverage, and we will discuss that ad nauseum.
Who's on the move? Another major league trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
Man, that's loud. I want everyone out there to get accustomed to hearing that. Pirates trade Key Brian Hayes yesterday for a high A shortstop and a left-handed relief pitcher is actually pretty good. I think the Pirates could flip Rogers today. We shall see. Key Brian Hayes going to the Cincinnati Reds, but you knew that already. Will the Reds fix Key Brian Hayes? I look at just 2 years ago, 2023. Hayes had a 762 OPS. He hit 15 home runs. Man, if that's the guy he was, the Pirates wouldn't be trading him. He'd be a great bargain. He was a 3.9 wins above replacement guy. The year before that, he was a 4.5 wins above replacement guy. But the last 2 years, he's combined for 2 wins above replacement overall, which makes him not a bad player, but he's an atrocious hitter. And last season, a 573 OPS, we thought, you know what, if he stays healthy, he'll be better than that. He's been worse this year. He's 41% below league average as a hitter. He was 39% below league average last year. I think the back thing screwed it up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll ever turn into a good hitter. And I saw a lot of people yesterday saying, hey, he's going to play in that great hitter's ballpark. It's a great hitter's ballpark if you hit the ball in the air. He doesn't hit the ball in the air. He tops the ball to the third baseman. I texted Starkey and said, maybe he'll hit some more book rule, ground rule doubles. He'll chop the ball off the plate, but because it's Great American Small Park, maybe it'll chop off the plate and go over the left field wall. I don't think this guy's going to be hitting a whole ton of homers. But a lot of people, because of the way the Pirates have developed guys, they don't trust this organization to develop hitters, and I get that. And I think the preset for all Buccos fans is, guy goes elsewhere, guy performs there. And I don't blame anybody for feeling that way. I just don't think Key Brian Hayes fits that. I think you disagree.
I definitely disagree. I mean, and it's for many reasons that you just stated. One would being that usually a player that goes elsewhere does well. I mean, we see it all the time. We've seen it for many, many years. Player goes here, plays very well, doesn't matter the position. Quinn Priester being the closest example of that right now. I think that Key Brian Hayes will become a good hitter. Like I said before, too, it's not like the Cincinnati Reds don't have hitters where Brian Hayes needs to be a hitter. And also, their development is way, way better than the Pirates. They do a good job of developing players.
Look at Ellie De La Cruz compared to O'Neill Cruz.
Exactly. And people could say, well, development, you know, starts in, you know, minor league ball. But no, development is year in and year out. And Brian Hayes isn't, you know, at a point in his career where he's a veteran that can't develop. He can still develop into a hitter, and a team can develop him into a hitter still. They can identify the issues, and they can make him a better hitter, which I think the Reds are very capable of doing with their history of younger players being developed. So I think he's going to become a really good hitter there, of course.
People think, because I got into this on Twitter yesterday, that I am coming to the Pirates' defense here by way of saying Hayes is not going to develop into a hitter in Cincinnati. No, folks, don't hear it that way. I think they screwed him up. And I think he is irreparable at this point. And the back thing, too. I understand why the Reds traded for him. I think in a lineup where they can actually hit the ball out of the ballpark and they've got some good pieces there, I think he fits. They needed better defense at third. I follow a bunch of Cincinnati people on social media because you want to stay close to them because of the NL Central, because of the Bengals and the AFC North. It was a big need for them.
Mm-hmm.
Defense at third base. And he provides that in a way that nobody else in Major League Baseball can provide it. It makes a ton of sense for the Reds. Even if he doesn't hit, it makes more sense for them than it does here in Pittsburgh. I just don't think he can be fixed. What say you at 412-928-9370? And what do you think about the trade overall? You can give us a ring on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob in North Versailles. Hello, Bob.
I tell you what, Crowley, this has me all upset. It reminds me of my ex-mother-in-law's cooking. It was horrible, horrible. Even a fly pitched in to fix the screen door.
Thank you, Bob.
Was that the guy that called when I was out?
Yeah. He might be one of my favorite people on planet Earth.
So it was, he divorced his wife, right?
He caught his wife with his best friend.
Caught his wife with his best friend.
Which is tough.
And now he's talking about the ex-wife's mother, because he said the mother-in-law's cooking. So that whole side of the family, that was a big mistake by him by just marrying her, because he doesn't like anybody on her side of the family because the mother-in-law can't cook.
And the best thing to come from their divorce was that he wound up keeping the dog, but then he had to put the dog down and never got another dog after that.
Never got another dog.
He never got another dog. Never remarried, Bob in North Versailles.
Got to keep the dog. Okay.
That does sound like a difficult marriage.
Yeah.
Go over to the in-laws, don't love the cooking, come home one day, your wife's screwing your best friend, the mailman.
That's tough.
But at least you get to keep the dog, but then the dog dies.
Tough.
All the while you're a Pittsburgh Pirates fan.
Yeah, it's not good.
Let's go to Rob in Chicago, who I believe is happily married. You married, Rob?
No, single.
Damn it.
As far as the Cabrian
Harry, can you get over here, get that foot out of my mouth, please? Are you divorced, Rob? Let's get in your backstory. You call in every day. I feel like we don't know you. We met you at the 5-Alarm Marathon.
I'm not excited. There's nothing exciting. I get laid about as often as we change popes. It's not good.
That can happen in marriage too, Rob, so don't worry about that.
That is true.
Yeah, it's a pretty boring life. You know, you drive Uber and you work for the post office. But anyway, the Cabrian Hayes, I think, was a good move. I think he's going to do a little bit better in Cincinnati. But the guy's also about as durable as a piece of balsa wood. And I don't see the Pirates really picking up anything other than prospects today, because they just don't want to pay anybody. So, I mean, they can develop pitching. They can't develop hitting. But you're going to get a bunch of $3, $4 million Tommy Pham's and Spencer Horowitz's, and, you know, that's it. I mean, if they trade Keller, I'd love to see that money flipped around for a Pete Alonso or a Matt Chapman. It ain't going to happen.
We've been clear on this, and thank you for the call, Rob. Trading Cabrian Hayes is good if that money gets spent on a hitter this offseason. Trading Mitch Keller is good, if you can get pieces that are going to help your offense immediately, and or you can utilize his salary mixed with Hayes' salary and go spend it this offseason. If they trade these guys as pure salary dumps and don't fold the money back into the payroll, then it's a disaster, particularly with Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller's a really good pitcher. And if he's just a pure salary dump, that's nonsense to me. Because the stated goal by Cherington, even, in the two media availabilities this weekend, once with Zangrilli and the other on the Ben Cherington show, is to be better in 2026. If you are not utilizing the money saved in a Mitch Keller deal to make the team better in 2026, then you are actually hurting the team in 2026 because you're not going to have Mitch Keller. So there's a lot of qualifiers I just threw out there, but I think they're important. You can't just trade guys to trade
just
guys.
Just to do it, right?
Right.
Yes.
Man, that was a run of two really good calls there. Can you top Rob in Chicago and Bob in North for Sales at 412-928-9370? Bob also said that his best buddy was a mailman that was sleeping with his wife. Rob from Chicago said he drives Uber and is a mailman. Coincidence? Maybe not.
Oh, wow.
We should have asked Rob in Chicago about Bob and North Versailles' mother-in-law's cooking. Are the Pirates going to move Keller? You can call in, talk about Cabrian Hayes. We'd love to hear from you. Open phones until we get Pat Bostic on the show at 7 o'clock. But the latest on whether or not the Bucks can move their number two starter or are willing to move their number two starter, we'll get into when we come back. First, tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Closer versus farther away, what's your sense as to where this team is at in that respect?
I would argue both to an extent, because we are very close, but we need to consciously and intentionally make moves to get us better. I think that's, you know, something that we might have been a victim of in the offseason a little bit, just because we have guys that can get better, you know, on the pitching side and offensively. That seemed like that was the goal and the, you know, the outlook during the offseason. Not that we made some moves, but there are guys that we have now that can get better, that will get better, but we have to make it happen. And then obviously going out there and, you know, trading for guys, signing guys, who knows from there. But I think it's something that we have to be conscious and intentional about.
Paul Skenes, after his start on Sunday with Dan Zangrilli, big topic this week, Paul Skenes thoughtfully and intentionally calling out the Pirates by saying that they need to be thoughtful, conscious, and intentional with the moves that they make. The Pirates are not better today than they were yesterday. They're not. Because Cabrian Hayes is still a positive WAR player because of his glove. You got to have the big picture in mind. And that's where I don't trust Ben Cherington. Like, moving Cabrian Hayes out of here makes a ton of sense. But what's the next step? What's four steps down the line? You needed to clear a space that you could get a third baseman in here that could hit, even a league average third baseman. He hasn't done that yet. This is a massive day in Pirates history. It really is. This offseason is a massive one in Pirates history. Next season, one of the more important years in recent Pirates history. And you need to be thoughtful and intentional, like Skeen said, with what you do to improve upon this club. Now, that being said, Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, big-time Major League Baseball insider last night, he posted this, barring a dramatic shift on Thursday, the Pittsburgh Pirates are likely to keep right-hander Mitch Keller, according to Major League sources briefed on their discussions. He goes on to say, a trade of Keller represents perhaps the Pirates' best chance to acquire impact offensive talent, but The Athletic reported last Friday that the Pirates were torn on moving Keller. An executive from a team interested in Keller granted anonymity for his candor said his team has not even bothered continuing its pursuit of the pitcher, citing the Pirates' reluctance to seriously engage. Look, at a bare minimum, the Pirates need to be seriously engaging in conversations right now on Keller. I agree.
Oh, man. Man. Man, Callis.
I choked on my Zin there a little bit.
Yeah, I saw that.
I got to toss that way out of here. That was bad. My bad. Sorry, everyone. Driving around out there, that had to have been gross. That is disgusting. I agree with what Ken Rosenthal had to say there, wrote there, that this represents perhaps the Pirates' best chance to acquire impact offensive talent. And, okay, we've said this for weeks. If you don't get a major league player and a player who is knocking on the door to become an impact major league player, then you don't move Keller. Like, I still stand by that. But a team that would otherwise be interested in Keller hasn't even bothered because the Pirates aren't seriously engaging? That's a crime if that's true. Now, maybe the Pirates just aren't seriously engaged in talks with that team. I am open to that possibility. But they better damn well be having deep discussions on Keller. You have to be. If not, I don't want to hear Charrington ever say again this is a massive opportunity at this deadline. If you're not having the discussions, you're not even attempting to make good on this opportunity.
Well, I mean, what if, okay, there's a way to not have discussions if the ask is not even close to your ball, close into your ballpark, right? Like, it's like, I'm not even having this discussion. I'm not even having this conversation because what you're already offering, lowballing me right now, I don't even see you getting to a place where we could compromise.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's the point? Like, I'd rather just keep the guy.
It could be him sticking to his guns. It could be, I mean, and that would be the best case scenario. We need X. You're not even coming close to offering X. Don't bother calling us back unless you're going to. That would actually be okay. If that's the thought process of Ben Charrington, I'm fully behind that. You cannot trade Mitch Keller just to trade Mitch Keller. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think he's ever going to have higher value than he does right now, but I'm open-minded in that. He has tanked each of the last two seasons in the second half. If he keeps pitching the way that he has, and he bucks that historical Mitch Keller trend, then he'll be worth a lot on the open market this off, or on the trade market this offseason. And that's when it's much more likely that you're going to get major league players in return. So if that's the reasoning, hey, here's what we're asking. If you can't match it, then we're not going to trade him. I'm fine with it. If he's not having legitimate discussions, if he's not engaging in discussions, that is a crime against the sport. That's all I'm saying. 412-928-9370. It does not seem, though, Noah Hyles, Ken Rosenthal, I trust those guys. It does not seem like they're going to get what they're looking for out of Mitch, for Mitch Keller.
No.
I think they're holding on to him.
Yep, yep.
Someone called me a sex toy. They can get a better return in the offseason, you blank. That seems...
Start with a D.
It was something that got thrown under the court of a WNBA game a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, maybe... Maybe you can get better return in the offseason.
Oh, I thought you were going to say maybe you are.
Maybe I am.
No. No, you're not. Are you?
There's so many jokes just ran through my head there. I am growing. I am matured. Maybe you could get great return for him this offseason. But again, what if he's got a 650 ERA in the second half of the year? Mm-hmm. Then you're not going to get a great return for Mitch Keller. These are all things that Ben Charrington is mulling over right now. 412-928-9370 to the phones.
Yes.
Tractor in Pittsburgh. Hey, Tractor.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me good?
Yep, sure can.
Nice topic again. Crazy trade yesterday. I don't know if I'm going to be able to top the last two guys, man. Full disclosure, man, been a diehard Pirate fan all my life. My favorite player was Tony Womack as a kid. And I was actually at the no-hitter game with Ricardo Rincon and Francisco Cordova, one of my, the best days of my life. I really don't think no matter what they do with Keller or any of these trades, man, anything's going to change. Nothing just needs to sell the team. He's a businessman at heart. He really doesn't want to win. None of these trades really, this just kicks the can down the road. Like,
well,
everything
you've been
does,
consistent, Tractor. You've been calling for a couple of weeks, and I believe to multiple shows, and you're saying, hey, don't trade these guys just to trade them. Mm-hmm. And I wholeheartedly agree. I think we wholeheartedly agree with that, and thank you for the call.
This is the story of the Pirates, though. They always do this. So it's like, when are you going to turn? When are you going to transition into something different? And this would be that opportunity to do that, where you keep a Bednar, you keep a Mitch Keller, unless you get the whole house back.
The worst case scenario to that point would be if they do trade Keller, but the return is a couple of top 100 prospects that aren't going to help next year.
Man.
And then Ben Cherington on his radio show this weekend says, well, this gives us financial flexibility. That would be by far the worst case scenario.
And then doesn't do anything.
Right, because no one's going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
No.
Well, we traded Hayes. We got $9 million off the books, roughly $8.75, whatever it is. Oh, you trade Kelly, you get $15 million off the books, whatever it is. That's $22 million to spend. Financial flexibility. No one is going to believe that they'll fold that into the club until they do that.
Right.
And I think that's a fair place for Pirates fans to be. 412-928-9370. We've got Pat Bostic joining us at the top of the hour. We will get into why the Pirates absolutely, even if they don't trade Keller, need to trade either Bednar and Santana, if not both. We'll get to that. More of your calls on the way next at 412-928-9370. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Talking trade deadline.
Who's on the move? Another major league trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
Buccos moved off of Caleb Ferguson yesterday. They also acquired a reliever. Could they trade David Bednar? Could they trade Dennis Santana? They should. They absolutely should. The Phillies gave the Twins two top 100 prospects for reliever Duran, who throws 100 miles an hour, has an ERA around 2, whose name I can't say. The Pirates have two very good relievers. They got to move at least one of these guys. Like, the reliever market is hot, 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 hot. Can you get at least a top 100 prospect for a David Bednar or a Dennis Santana? I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for Bednar, you've only got 1 year of control beyond this year, and for Duran, it's more than that. It's a couple of years. So that might be why you get two top 100 prospects. But if you can get a top 100 prospect that's a triple-A hitter, you move on that yesterday.
I could have sworn I read that the asking price for David Bednar is going through the roof right now.
Yes, as it should.
As it should. So I can see maybe Santana going. I think Bednar and Mitch Keller are going to be here. I really do.
And the way that it'll be couched on Sunday, and it may not be a lie, is if those guys don't move, Cherington will say, we want to be good in 2026. With the offers that were on the table, we feel like we're better in 2026 with Mitch Keller and with David Bednar.
Yeah.
Now, I just got a text from somebody in the know during the break who said they've heard that teams aren't willing to part with major league talent for Mitch Keller, but would be willing to part with major league talent for Bubba Chandler. I'm fine with that.
I am too. Absolutely.
I mean, it better be.
Bubba Chandler's just going to take Mitch Keller's spot if you.
Exactly.
Right.
And he may well wind up being better, but guess what? We've never seen him pitch a big league game.
Right.
And I'm excited to see him pitch a big league game. It'd be great if it's in a Pirates uniform. I think he could be elite. That's why he's the number one rated pitching prospect in all of Major League Baseball. But it's just potential.
Mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee this guy could
be the next coming. I mean, he might not be better than Jared Jones was last year. You just don't know. And so if you could tell me, just in a vacuum, hypothetically, ideally, you could trade Bubba Chandler for a guy that projects to hit 30 homers in the major leagues, I think I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Yes.
And then you've got Mitch Keller. And so all this Pirates pitching depth that we've talked about, next year you'd have Skeens, you'd have Keller, you've got Falter, who's, I think, really good. Mike Burrows again yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a dude. Then Oviedo, Jared Jones. I'm fine with that.
Right.
I am fine with that. Maybe Ashcraft, who pitched 3 scoreless innings the other night. Maybe he's in your rotation, depending on which relievers you trade. Bubba Chandler would not be untouchable to me. What do you think? 412-928-9370. Call?
Yep.
Dustin in Pittsburgh wants to talk trades. Hi, Dustin.
Hey, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Doran, are you wonderful?
Great.
Harry, how you doing today? You good?
Yeah.
Oh, he's meh. What's up, man?
So I wanted to talk about the Ke'Bryan Hayes trade a little bit. I just was wondering, do you think we kind of sold him at a low point? Because we saw that really explosive month in June out of him. So I don't know if he could go back to that form, or do you think that we kind of sold him at a low point, or
I don't think they're selling him for his hitting. So his consistency as a fielder, as a third baseman, that's what you're selling at, and it was pretty high. I mean, he made a great play the other day, so that has always been high, and I think that that's what you were selling. If that makes sense.
And here's the other thing. Yeah. I mean, you and I disagree on what he's going to do in Cincinnati. Do you agree with me that he was never going to hit again here?
Never.
So I don't think you're looking at August being this breakthrough month for Ke'Bryan Hayes. We've been waiting for that for a long time. Even Joe Block, who had been tweeting out hard hit ball stats for Ke'Bryan Hayes the last 2 years, has stopped doing that. So I think all hope was lost here as a hitter, and I don't think you would have gotten more for Ke'Bryan Hayes this offseason. I think desperation gets you drunk this time of year, and the Reds, they are contenders, and they gave up their 9th-rated prospect for Ke'Bryan Hayes. They gave up a good left-handed reliever in the middle of a playoff race for Ke'Bryan Hayes. I find it hard to believe they'd get something more than that for him. 412-928-9370. Pat Bostic going to be joining us coming up at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. We'll do a little bit more Buccos. We'll mix in the Pirates all throughout the day. We're going to have to, because we expect them to do at least something, don't we? If Bednar doesn't go and you think he'll remain, I think they'll definitely move Santana.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to move one of these relievers. The way this market is shaped up, you have to. I think they'll at least do that, plus Tommy Pham still available, and he's been playing like Willie Mays for the last 6 weeks. 412-928-9370 if you want to talk trades. Again, Pat Bostic joining us in the 7 o'clock hour through the remainder of the show. It was the first day in pads yesterday, Dorn.
Yes, it was.
For the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's the Hall of Fame game tonight. We'll get into all of it. First, though, Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.